Hi, my name is Ian Lash, and I am the Associate Rector at St. Peter's Episcopal Church in St. Louis, Missouri. And I wanted to talk today about Sing My Tongue the Glorious Battle. It's one of those hymns in the hymnal 1982 that's paired with two different tunes, so it's found at hymn numbers 165 and 166 in the hymnal. And there's several reasons that I really, really deeply love this hymn. The first is it's really fascinating history. Both versions that we have are the same hymn text, which are a 19th century translation of an original 6th century Latin poem. So it's this sort of modern translation in verse of this ancient hymn text that was written about the cross. And the translation itself is by John Mason Neal, who's one of the famous Anglican hymnodists and poets and sort of hymn translators in the Anglican Church. So just in its sort of history, just in how it gets to us in the hymnal 1982, sort of points to the idea of the universal church and the sort of centuries of history that have sort of led us to where we are as followers of Christ. It just sort of attests to all the different streams of Christianity. And I love it too because it doesn't shy away from the truth. This is a Holy Week hymn that is very, very, very authentic, very real, very, in some ways, sort of severe. It doesn't sugarcoat Christ's suffering and death. It deals with it really, really plainly. But it has some just really beautiful phrases that I think point to the importance of the cross. At the end of one stanza, Jesus Christ, the world's Redeemer, from that cross now reigns as King. The idea that that this is what the Messiah, this is what the true ruler of the world actually looks like, hanging from a cross. And then later, from that holy body broken, blood and water forth proceed. Earth and stars and sky and ocean by that flood from stain are freed. The idea that by Christ's sacrifice, all of creation is made anew, is made whole, is made pure. And then it has one of the most sort of incredible phrases about the cross that I've ever heard. Sweetest wood and sweetest iron, sweetest weight is hung on thee. Just this idea that even though this is the cross, this is an instrument of torture, this is in some ways a horrific, horrific thing, calling it sweetest wood and sweetest iron recognizes that there's a reason why we call this Good Friday, right? There's a reason why God has wrought good out of even the evil of this cross. I also love the meter that's used for the poetry itself. When John Mason Neal translated it, he preserved it in the original meter, which is a pretty rare one. It's called trochaic tetrameter. And trochaic tetrameter means that it's composed of troches, which are pairs of syllables that go stressed, unstressed. And tetrameter means that there are four of those feet for every line. But it's catalectic, meaning catalexis is this process of incompleteness. It's a way by which the meter isn't fulfilled. And when you sing it, even the words, even the meter that's used for the lyrics, leaves this sense that something isn't quite done. And I love that that's sort of the last really the last moment musically a lot of times that people will have at Good Friday. And so this idea that the poetry itself feels incomplete leads you sort of into the rest of Holy Week and into Easter. I just think it's one of the more powerful meditations on Holy Week that we have at our disposal, and I just love every year when we get to sing it.
Thanks to the Reverend Ian Lash for this episode. Share your thoughts about this or any episode on our website, songsinthedesert.org. Or with the hashtag Songs in the Desert. Please take our Songs in the Desert listener survey. It only takes 2 minutes. You can find a link in the show notes to this episode. We'll see you tomorrow for another Song in the Desert.